Was he a miner, this guy?
No, they weren't mining. They were up the mountain doing something. I don't know whether. But it turned out that this man was he's an MLA, this boy is now. And it was going over to Mission. And the next night, I was at a meeting, and this boy was at the meeting. He's now an MLA.
An NDPer.
Yes, for merit, in there now. Right. Used to be around Mission. We were at the meeting, and I was talking to this fella, and he says, "You were the one that picked up my father this morning." He says, "Was my father come home at supper time, and was he full of this woman that..."
that picked him up and gave him a lecture about birth control.
Yeah, not on birth control, but on this unemployed fellow that thought everything was fine living in a relief camp at 2 meals a day and 20 cents a day, I think, for cigarettes. That's the way they were. Claiborne Bricks, up the mountain. That's where he was working. Claiborne Bricks,
right.
Up the mountain. And he'd come down the mountain, and then he'd start to walk over to Mission, where his home was. And it was Bill Hartley's father that I picked up.
Got it.
And then I met Bill Hartley in the meeting at night, and he says, some way he knew it was me, and we got talking, and he said, "My father was bubbling over when he come home for supper tonight about this woman that picked him up and how she was telling this man that she didn't think everything was all right when he was living with a whole lot of other men in a camp at 20 cents a day and 2 meals."
Yeah.
And beside that, he was satisfied with life like that. So I spoke my piece, you know. Oh, gee, what fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it was sad. Sad.
I guess traveling around, you got a real sense of what was going on within, I guess, the working people's lives in the province.
Oh, yes, yes.
In the 30s and the 40s.
Oh, a lot of sadness, you know. It's terrible.
Did people...
Dear.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
But people resisted to some extent that, eh?
Oh, dear. They were out selling this and that, trying to live off each other sort of thing.
Yeah.
Awful.
Right.
So I met one fellow and he was taking measurements for shoes. I bought a pair of shoes off him. You know, that sort of thing, trying to help, but it's tough. Door-to-door canvassing and things like that.
Mm-hmm. This is like
begging people
in order to
buy.
And they didn't have any money probably themselves.
No, no, indeed not. But yeah. There's a lot of it right now. A lot of hardship.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Mm-hmm. But here we have. Can grow all the food in the world, all we need, everything, and we can even give away more than we can produce, and yet even in our own country, we have people that are hungry and struggling and
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
It's not rational.
Yes, it doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem right that people anywhere in the world have to suffer.
Do you remember when people began to union organize? Do you remember that process at all?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
They were organizing,
yeah.
Some, because I know one of my boys was working in the cannery and they were organizing then in the canneries.
Did you ever go into towns and find that they're in the middle of sort of organizing drives or strikes or anything like that?
No. You know, Raymond McCready, do you know him?
No.
He can give you a lot of information on that.
How would I find him?
Raymond McCready, he's in the phone book. And he's been organizing. Of course, his father is gone now, but... Right. You talk to him. He knows an awful lot of the history of the organizations. I'm sure he does.
Because, he was a union organizer?
Well, he is today, I guess. But he was even young in the 30s. Mm-hmm. But I imagine he knows quite a lot of the history of the thing because he's terrifically interested in the organization.
Right.
Very much so.
Wow. Okay. So...
But, oh, gee... I didn't work around here much. All,
in Vancouver, eh?
No.
You mostly worked in the interior.
In the interior.
Is that where the need was the biggest? Or?
No. I guess they had a couple of girls down here.
Mm-hmm.
But I've tried to contact one of them, and I can't get her.
Right.
I forget her name at the moment, but I wanted to talk to her, especially for that other book, you know. And I can't find her. Maybe they're all gone. I don't know.
Right. So in other words, there were people who worked for Kaufman's rubber company who covered the entire province, going around to different towns.
I don't.
And seeing people. And...
I did. I don't. Well, these other girls were on the coast. There was
right.
a couple of girls on the coast, and but I did the interior. I just mm-hmm. loved driving, and I was a good driver, and I still am a good driver, although I got to go and get a medical every year. I get sick of that.
Oh, yeah, they make you do that.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm rather amazed. I drive the car, and I think, golly bee, you're 85. And you know what you're doing. You're
yeah.
driving and you're doing everything right. How do you do it, you know? I wonder.
You ask yourself.
Oh, yeah. I talk to myself a lot like that.
Lots of people do.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
That's me. So how would you spend it?
But you go in and see Raymond and you tell him that I told you.
So is it... How do you spell his name?
McCready. I guess that's it. McCready. He's in Burnaby. He's, I think he's head or secretary or something of some of the unions.
Okay.
But some of those union fellows can help you an awful
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, I've gotten some real help from them, actually.
And Hilda Christensen. Can help you a little bit on the birth control that was on in Vancouver.
Do you know how to get hold of her by any chance?
Well, she's in the phone book.
Also in the phone book. Okay.
Hilda.
And she lives in Vancouver.
It's spelled with a K.
Okay.
And those girls were in some building and they were fitting the diaphragms and... some of us in Kamloops got together and brought those girls up there to fit the diaphragms for especially some of the poorer people up there.
So it was like
boy.
Self-help at that point.
Right.
Yeah. Not medical profession stuff. So if you went into a town, would you stay for like a week or two and... try and see people, or would you just...
Oh, yes.
Sort of,
oh,
yeah,
yes.
You just sort of settle yourself in and...
Yes,
and
stay in there. A week or two, whatever. But I went right to Prince George in Giscombe. And I went away up into Bray Lorne into that part. I went right up to Cornell and Wales, and in that way. I went in every side road, wherever I could, to get it spread. And I'm watching the population today, and it's going down. I mean, it's pretty good.
You watch it. Yeah.
And I think that some of that work is paying off.
I think so, too.
Sure.
Pioneers.
Oh, boy.
Getting the idea out. Because I imagine if you talk to one person and convince them...
Another thing. Here in Alma Road, there's a couple of women, or a doctor or somebody, has started some kind of a clinic on sexual behavior.
Oh.
And helping that sort of life. And I want to go and see that guy, because I've got awfully good manuscript on all that. I'd like to show it to him.
You should make sure that thing gets published if you've written it.
Well, I wish. I'm thinking I've got it. I lost it for a while. Mary Bishop wanted to see it, and I couldn't find it for a while. I hid it. I put it away so carefully. Now I found it. What I want to do is go and photostat every page of it. So I'll have two copies anyway. Mary would like a copy herself. I don't think she knows I found it, but she wants a copy, all right.
What's it about? Sexuality?
Yes, sexuality.
Yeah.
It's many women don't realize the joy and the... what they have for them in the sex act at all, and it's just telling them one thing and another.
That's great.
It is. It really is. And this fellow is explaining and helping marriages,
mm-hmm.
and I've been in thinking I'd go around and talk to him.
You were really courageous for the time that you.
Oh, yes. Oh, sure. Sure. You know.
Yet in the period when women didn't talk about
sure. That. And not only that, but lots of people have said, were so surprised and so wonderful that I was so interested that I would get out and talk to them and help them.
Mm-hmm.
And they just...
So, I guess...
Especially, do you know... You do know. Oh, dear. That girl in the left bookshop.
Rose Bullock.
Yeah, Rose Bullock.
Yeah.
She was...
Well, she's the person who told me...
Yeah, and she was quite amazed and thought it was quite something, you know. But as long as I knew I had the backing,
mm-hmm.
And that it was not illegal, and then I was trying to wake the people up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I imagine if you talked about birth control of people, they would start to talk about their sexuality generally.
Quite a bit, but not too much.
Yeah,
I didn't go into that at all.
Absolutely.
But I have a very good manuscript.
Yeah.
Very, very, very good. In fact, Mr. Tyre wrote it and mm-hmm. gave me a copy, and I have a copy, and it's plain as day.
Right.
Wonderful. So, anyway, I've got that, but I've got to take time and get another copy before I lend it around or do anything about it, because
you should.
I don't want to lose it ever, because it's so priceless.
So, were people sort of shocked by you as a woman who...
Well, I really never had any much of a turndown.
Yeah.
I had... I knew where I was going, you see.
Yeah,
it wasn't. Right. I was not canvassing day to house to house.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew where I was going.
You have a contact.
And I had to, I filed that. I just went there, and lots of times there were long ways between these contacts. They weren't anything like door to door. That's another thing. It wouldn't have the feeling that it had if I were canvassing door to door. It was problems, and I was trying to help them.
So how would you find out about these people? Through a person in another town?
If I got one person in one town, that's all I needed.
And then they would just start to
tell me. They'd tell me where to go.
And
I see Mrs. Jones down the street there, and she's got three of them, and I know she's just haggard mm-hmm. with these children, and I know he's out of work, and I'm sure that if you went there, that she'd be glad to see you. So I'd take the tip and go, and sure enough, she was there. But lots of times they'd say, well, who sent you? So glad to see you. Who sent you? I said, well, I can't tell you who sent you, but you'll have to fish around yourself. I said, it was fun. It was nice. And I just enjoyed every day of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I really did.
Oh, it's an incredible way to spend your life. How many years did you do that?
Oh, I was good 5 or 6 years doing that.
Wow.
Yeah, quite a while. Yeah.
So after you stopped being BC's birth control lady, did you continue to work with birth control?
Or? No, I was with it. When they folded up, he thought I had enough of it, or that was enough, and he had a good start, mm-hmm. All over. And as you can imagine, there was two other women were under him in this Vancouver area in Victoria, which I practically didn't do anything around here. Mm-hmm. It was all traveling all the way. And sometimes I'd meet a truck, a butcher would be up buying cattle away up in the hills, and come back and meet my husband or one of my family. Where do you think I met Mrs. Dowding? Way up in the hither and yon, I was anywhere. Just a good car driver, and just enjoying driving, and enjoying every day of my life work. Every minute I enjoyed it. I would love to have gone all through it again. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it so much. I felt I was doing something.
Yeah, well, you were. It was really important.
Of course, I really was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when I think of getting that hospital board consent to sterilize that single girl with already several children, and you never saw so many flies. I went out to the store and bought those things you hang from the ceiling and give to her. Those were the little extra things that I did, many of them. I couldn't stand the little babies lying there with flies crawling all over a baby. And they're so poor, they no screen doors, no. And in the interior, the flies are awful if you don't have screens. Here you can get along with them.
Yeah, right, during the summer.
But those are the lots of little extra things that I couldn't stand that I had to do.
And your initial interest came because you had three children in 2 years.
Well, and remembering that mother said I was only 2 years and 10 months old when she had her third. She never had another one then for about 10 years. But that was too many, too fast. And then I get my three in 3 years. They're both birthdays are in November, the first and the third.
I'm telling you,
there was no intercourse for a long, long time after that, I tell you. Mm-hmm. And I met lots of cases like that.
Well, I'm sure that's what women did if they didn't have birth control.
I'm telling you, they went often years without any sex play at all. They're just petrified about another pregnancy, and of course a jelly and condom is the safest method there is in birth control, and then when we have intercourse and use safe, do you know what I'd do? I'd get up and go out to the kitchen and test that safe to see if there wasn't a spot in it that could leak out anything there? Just in terror.
Mm-hmm.
And so when a woman talked to me about a problem, there was something right here that was with
the
her.
The identification. Sure.
It wasn't anything else. And they had a great confidence in me, these people.
Was childbirth difficult then?
Pardon?
Childbirth must have been much more difficult than now, too.
Childbirth?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think so. No. Childbirth's very natural.
I think it is.
You see, my granddaughter has just had a baby, and her husband was there for the birth.
Oh, they did it naturally.
And she was well prepared for it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She had lots of lessons and lots of exercise and lots of... And so had he. He'd been in the classes with her all the way through. And so it goes along fine.
But were women in that period, like in the 30s, were they afraid of childbirth at all?
Oh, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. They were having their babies pretty well with some of these midwives and at home. Lots of them.
Were the midwives?
But the best place to have a baby is in the hospital. It's certainly not in the home.
Yeah.
It's not. And I did both ways. I had the last one at home, and that was a stupid thing. Cord was around the neck two or three times, you know, and all that sort of thing. Having to delay the birth to get the cord off before the birth would come. And here I wasn't in a hospital. And Dr. Not hurrying to come, my husband having to come the second time to get him into the house, to bring him into the house. They're the craziest thing to do. Hospital's the only place. Boy, the first birth is often the hardest. You've never had a birth? No. Pardon?
I've been at several.
Oh, have you? And the first birth is the slowest, but afterwards they come so quickly, you know, they're all sliding up. Oh boy, it's amazing. Wonderful. Wonderful. Now I'm great grandmother. Gee, lovely baby, too. She's away right now. She's way up. She lives in the top floor. And,
in the house?
Yes. And she's gone up to. Up the 100-mile house, visit her sister for a while, taking the baby. Lovely. Oh, I don't know whether I can tell you anything else about this business.